You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. TG, how you doing?
Jason Greger, I'm well, sir. That is quite the show lineup you had today. You got some NFL content as the season's about to kick off here. I'm excited to see Chuba in the NFL. Obviously, Edmonton product, and talking about him being in high school a couple of years ago on the field in town, and then all of a sudden flash forward, however you want to say it, he's under the bright lights in the NFL. It's going to be really, really exciting to see him taking on the Jets this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. So look forward to that. He's like, yeah, it's only a few years ago. I'm playing high school ball for Ben Facey, and now here he is in the NFL. That's pretty sweet, considering it, for Edmonton football players. Like, that's just awesome, because that young generation of kids are going to be like, hey, it's possible. And it's amazing the mindset for people when they think something's possible, how much harder they'll work to get it done, which is great. Now, you report, hey, no surprise, players are in town. They're skating. This happens every year for teams. Now, like in most seasons, other than the one time, like Ryan Smith, I still chuckle about the time Smitty didn't have a contract, but he showed up at camp and he's standing on the outside of the glass watching practice. And it wasn't, probably his agent was like, what are you doing? It wasn't helping his negotiation. But Kyler Yamamoto not in town. I don't expect him in town until he gets a contract. That's just kind of par for the course. I still believe that when the 22nd arrives, Yamamoto will be here. What do you think?
I think so too. It only makes sense. It's the right thing to do. if he does a Ryan Smith circa, 1998, when he held out a young Ryan Smith. I remember Ryan Smith had a bad year, like most, over the course of history in hockey, that holdout for that extra money or the contract they want, and they miss time. It hurts them. Smith had a bad year. I mean, listen, this was over two decades ago, but I still remember that. And you don't want to see Kyler Yamamoto proverbially watching the guys on the ice from the other side of the glass while they're getting ready for the season to start. I think that, they'll likely get something done. I think Yamamoto and his camp need to be realistic. The Oilers don't have a ton of wiggle room cap-wise for this season. And, we heard Ken Holland is going to be talking to Yamamoto and his agent right away here. And he ideally would like to get everybody in tow for the start of camp. That is the best case scenario. If they can make it happen, be reasonable, both sides. I think that's the best case scenario, and I'd like to see it. I think it will happen. I mean, come on. You don't want to be caught behind the eight ball in a very important season for a guy like Kyler Yamamoto.
Yeah, like I'm with you. You have to look at the salary cap and say, well, realistically, what can I get? That's might not be fair, but that's like the crunch is on right now in the National Hockey League. We can say, hey, if you have a great season, you'll get rewarded. And if you have a tough one, then you're not. Like, that's just how it is right now. Like, I was actually surprised in the big jump for defensemen. I thought $8 million was going to be the number. Now all of a sudden it's up to 9.5, right? With a flat cap. So that's pretty significant jump. And so that money's, that's going to slowly get eroded by all the kind of lower guys in the totem pole. And, you're Kyler Yamamoto, and you're a young player, and you have no arbitration rights, and you're coming off a tough season offensively. It's just, like, to me, it's pretty simple. It's just going to come down to, does he want a two-year deal or a one-year deal? And I think the numbers on a one-year deal are probably around 1.5 and 1.7 or 1.8 on a two-year deal. I don't think it gets much higher than that, and probably even closer to 1.7.
I wonder, too, if just keeping an NHL job factors in at this point. I mean, like you said, we're seeing a lot of good NHL players, guys who've been around for a long time, with no contracts right now. They're getting squeezed out. It's ramifications from the frozen cap. COVID has messed up a lot of plans for teams and a lot of the way you can spend your money, obviously, because what were we anticipating? About $84-85 million from those general managers meetings in 2020 before the season had to be shut down. And here we are again, stuck around 81.5. So if you're Kyler Yamamoto, this is an important year, again, obviously. If you want that security and you want that bounce back, maybe you do go for the 2 years and Because what if you go, okay, I'm going to go on a one-year prove-it deal, and what if you prove nothing? What if you prove that the second half of last year was more of the type of NHL player that you are than your start to last year and the finish to 2020, 2019? It's a bit of a gamble. So, I mean, me being me, my instinct would be to take security and try to get that two-year deal and have that much extra runway to try to hit a home run with the next contract. But guys see things differently, and we'll see how this one plays out. But I see what you're saying with the money and the expectation, but we'll see how this all kind of unfolds in the couple weeks here.
Dylan Holloway reported last Friday, Tommy, don't expect him to be ready to start the rookie camp, maybe not even the main camp, which is, you know, it's unfortunate for him. But the interesting part about Holloway is from – and I haven't seen him personally, but talking to people, they've been quite impressed by just, you know, the physical stature. He's a lot thicker maybe and stronger than people were expecting.
That's great. Those are good indicators. And if he puts that added size since he was drafted and the first time we saw him in a training camp or when we saw him with Team Canada or what he was doing at the NCAA level, and he gets that old man strength, if you will, then that's excellent. Put it to use. If he's not ready to rock by the time we see the rookies roll in next week or from main camp, maybe a blessing in disguise, just looking for a silver lining here. And that takes a bit of the attention, the pressure off, you know, people with the expectation, could he compete for a job this year? Yeah, I'm sure he wants to. Maybe he still does. But if it doesn't play out and the injury kind of sets him back, then he could casually, and I say that loosely, casually go to Bakersfield, put together a really solid year, and when the time comes and they need a player, maybe he's at the front of the line ready to go when he's healthy and has a little bit of a pro experience under his belt. And I think that's just fine too. We forget how young these guys are sometimes. This is a guy that's in the process of about to become a pro hockey player, and each guy handles it differently. Some guys take well to it right away. Some guys, it takes a little bit of time. We shall see.
Tommy Gazzola joins us, Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Tommy, we had Trevor Harris on the program yesterday, 398 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, Elks, pretty convincing win. I don't know if we're talking enough about the Elks defense this season and just how good they've been, maybe surprisingly good when you think about it, and the fact that now they're going to get Moncrief back, which should be a huge boon to them defensively. But like, if you look at it, they've only allowed 738 passing yards so far through 4 games. That's an average of 184 per game. The next closest to them is Hamilton at 236. And then you look at them, they're the third lowest rushing yards so far, allowed 323, only 80 per game. There's only, you know, half the league is above 106 or over 100, excuse me. Like, Edmonton's defense, I'll admit, they're a lot better than I thought they'd be.
They were great. I think their coming out party was BC. You know what? Quite frankly, I think they've been rock solid from the get-go, to be honest. It was the offense that stuttered in the first couple of games against Ottawa and Montreal. And then everything seemed to click in Vancouver in that win over BC. And it was the offense defense getting to Michael Riley. It was the defense shutting things down in the secondary. The linebackers, even though they're young, and you mentioned Moncrief coming in, which is going to be a huge boost, were still effective. And then you see the performance in Calgary on Monday. A lot to be liked about what's being built up on the defensive side of the game. Obviously, they're not messing around. The momentum on the offensive side is coming around. They're working hand in hand. Defense isn't getting stuck out there too long. The offense is giving them time to rest as well when they're getting out there. There was some long, sustained drives in the second half last game for the Elks, and then that let the defense rest, and then they came up big when they needed to, had some crucial stops. It's encouraging, and I know it's only been 4 games, but I'm eager to see how they handle this game on Saturday, like most, and if they can continue to let this snowball and that momentum build, and maybe we have a team here in the Elks that could be a quiet contender in this West Division in a season where, you know, we still don't know what the heck is going to happen considering we've missed a whole season of football.
Yeah. With so many faces on their defense, I thought it would be a challenge a little bit early on. But so far, they've been above expectations for me. And now you're going to add in Moncrief. He's not going to play this weekend. But, you know, he's in his seven-day protocol just because he's quarantining. I could easily see him as a veteran player pick up the defense and be ready to play next Saturday, which would be huge for the Elks. A huge addition in the middle of your defense. So that could be a big signing for them. And their offense, which I expected to be better, like Wilder's looking like a rookie as he was, dominating. And their receivers, they've got way more speed in the receiving corps than they had last season, and they're much more of a deep threat.
We saw it right away when they took the lead in the first half, when they took the lead in the opening couple of drives. Ernest Edwards making an impact in his debut. Mike Jones leading the team in receiving, 107 yards in that game and a touchdown. And then on top of that, oh, by the way, you've got Darrell Walker back from COVID protocol. Looked all right. Greg Ellington looked all right. Clutch plays for him as well. Those guys are going to be important, obviously, pillars in the offense. And I'm curious to see, Greg's, how Jalen Tolliver starts to perform and get confidence with this offense as well. It looks like it might be a deep set of receivers. The offense has the tools and the weapons. You mentioned Wilder. And that's with Tavon Smith out, too, who's been around for a while. And so all of a sudden, you got guys pushing each other, competing, wanting Trevor Harris to target them, throw him the ball. And you know, if you have 5-6 guys who you can rely on, the options are endless, especially when you go down your reads and your checkdowns. And, you got a couple of guys who find themselves open after the first couple are covered. And these guys are sure-handed and you can deliver, then that's a great situation. So, again, it's exciting. The potential's there. Let's see it develop and continue to blossom. And again, this team might have something here, but it's still relatively early.
Well, it is early in a 14-game tournament, but Canada off to a massive start against El Salvador. They're up 2-0 in the first 12 minutes, so that's a huge start for them without Alfonso Davies, who's back in Germany after a minor injury. So there you go. Tommy, have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg. See you tomorrow.